Hi guys, my name is Steve. I'm an alcoholic. I'm also a grateful member of this group. And big room tonight, huh? Good.
Who's your speaker?
Pizza. Pizza always brings them in. Anyway, when I first started with this reading, I was a little perplexed about it all because I didn't see where my life had become unmanageable. You know, I was still in a sort of, I guess, in a state of denial. But when I did a quick review of my drinking at a later date, I saw that, you know, for instance, I'd been married at a very young age, and I was actively drinking when I got married. I got married when I was 19. And the woman I married did not drink, period. You know, we had a child, we moved to the Cape, we had another child, and if it came down to me doing the right thing, say, okay, I run a business, I gotta go to work. Okay, the place closes at 9, or maybe I can leave at 8 o'clock, right? If I have the choice to go and help my wife at home with the children, or go to the bar, I always made that choice. You know, and these choices, one after another, time after time, sometimes I wouldn't come back for a couple days, you know, so the alcohol had the power to make my life unmanageable in that way, because I don't have to tell you, when you go back home to the wife, you know, it's not going to be pretty. You know, she had choice words for me, and never kicking me out, because I sort of like, I want to say I had a hostage. A true hostage. I ain't shitting. You know, this girl had nowhere else to fucking go, otherwise she would have gone, I think. You know, in retrospect. But it was one event after another, whether it was my drinking alone or whether it was my, I like to go out and play with women, other women, you know, and stuff like that. It was always something that would create the unmanageability for me when I got back home, and I just had no way of defending against that thing. You know, like we talk about the jaywalker, the guy's an idiot, right? But he keeps doing it. Well, that's me. I kept doing it. I kept putting myself in a position where, and I could justify it. That's the weird thing. You know, I did what I did, honey, but you know, it's all right because I'm back. And in my demented head, this all made sense. You know, I was entitled to the things I was doing. You know, whatever reason, I made the money. Yeah, it was Greek. I don't know, whatever the fuck went through my head at the time, you know? So, you know, this was the beginning of my drinking. Like when I shouldn't say beginning, I was drinking, but when I came to the Cape, I figured things would change a little bit, and it didn't, you know, so. That eventually, I got home one night, and I was with a couple of women earlier, and my wife happened to see me at a Chinese restaurant. That night there was the final draw for her. She asked me to leave. And again, at first I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm back. I'm here. You're knight in shining armor. No. The bags were outside, no talking about it. We're not talking for a while. So I went on a tear, did what I wanted to do, got into more problems, created more unmanageability with my business and my family and my father and my mother, and I created a lot of big problems because I just did not want to stop drinking. That was the bottom line. That was my solution to everything. You know, in this, in one of the paragraphs here, it says whether, you know, I was drinking for pleasure, I was drinking for good news, bad news, resentment, hate, you know, whatever it was, I had a reason to drink. And that's just the way I was. And but I eventually came to a conclusion. I'm a businessman, I got these three kids, I still got this wife, I'm gonna stop drinking. And I did. And I was, before that happened, you know, it says here that we can mind fuck ourselves and actually think that we're not alcoholic. Well, I'm good at that. I told myself, if I can stop drinking and continue on this path, then I'm not an alcoholic. I'll be all right. That alcohol is not the big problem in my life. It's her. It's my wife, you know. And I did. I stayed sober for quite a while, and I ended up getting divorced after a decent attempt, but not a real good attempt. A decent attempt at getting back together with my wife. Even that whole thing was insane because I was still seeing other women. So it was a half-assed effort, and But eventually, we got divorced. I got the kids in the divorce, and I stayed sober for quite a few years. I got my affairs in order. You know, my business started to do a lot better in the years that I was sober. You know, I was more attentive to it. I wasn't running up the street to Molly's or whatever it was then and drink, or to Luke's and have a bottle with me all the time. So I could be more focused on my business, more focused on my children. And I still had a long way to go, because like with me, it wasn't only the alcohol. I had to change the way I thought. You know, there was still pussy involved. I still was chasing, you know, the women, and that could become that can become unmanageable real quick, you know? So after a certain period of time, I convinced myself, like one of the gentlemen here that they write about in the book, that, you know, I've gotten to a certain point in my life, and I gave myself a pat on the back. And I convinced myself that though I've gone 12 years, 13 years, and according to my daughter, it's 15 years, and I guess if you really want to hear the truth, ask one of your kids, right? She said, Dad, you went 15 years without drink. But whatever, it doesn't matter. I didn't drink during that duration. And I gave myself a break. I said, why not? You know, the exact circumstances don't matter. Backyard, after laying down a patio, it was an Amstel Light, and I drank it, all right? And nothing happened. And I felt good about that. Because had you met me at a bar and I was struggling not to drink, and maybe sipping on a beer, and you asked me, why don't we do one shot? And I say, no. Inside me, I'm dying. I want to do that shot, you know. And before long, I will. And I will continue to do them and make sure you're dropping off your stool by the end of the night, because that's the type of guy I was. So I had no way of stopping the drinking. But when I got to this point, when I was had that Amstel and nothing special happened, I actually convinced myself that I can drink like normal people. You know, I don't have to drink all the time. Whatever happened back then, happened back then. I'm not an alcoholic. I've proven it. I've stayed sober so many years. I've done the right thing as far as my business and my children, and for the most part for my family. You know, I'm an all right guy. So it wasn't too long after that, you know, the desire, the obsession to drink took over. Now, that doesn't mean that I was drinking, but the obsession was there. It wasn't like that I was going to the package store and grabbing a bottle and drinking every day of the week. But I could feel it coming, you know? And it came. It came. One day the switch went on and I was drinking every day of the week again. So my best attempt, and I have incredible willpower, guys. I'll tell you. I have willpower. I could do anything I wanted except somehow to stop this drinking. Or, better yet, make me a normal drinker, where I can go places, enjoy it, and not have to just keep drinking and becoming an asshole at some point, and you know, getting into a fight either with the woman I'm with, an argument, or a fist fight because somebody said something to her. That all came back, all the poor behavior. But I was a little bit more aware of what was going on this time around. You know, it's not like I went to too many AA meetings, but I knew a few AA guys, and I had to be brought to my knees. I had to see my whole life go from, take a complete 180 from being this guy that was sober and actually, not perfect, mind you, but sober and doing right by his family, his children. You know, I was leading a double life. You know, if I had my girlfriend at the time, that's fine, because I had another one. I had another one. And this all creates to me unmanageability too. But When I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous, it was in 2011, and I was completely convinced at this point that I was alcoholic. There was no other way about it. You know, I couldn't live without a drink. I had to have that drink. I had the jitters if I didn't have the drink. I had no defense against the drink. Again, the things around me, the people around me, the way I was treating them, and the way I was running my business again, which I didn't lose. I took a lot of pride in that, but there was a good reason I didn't lose that business. I was so hateful against one person who said, you keep doing this and you're gonna lose your business, that I made damn sure I wasn't gonna lose it. So I kept it out of resentment. I was holding on to that business strictly out of resentment. That's a real deep hate, while drinking, you know? In the store, too. I mean, it was just no stopping it. But the day that I came back here, I came to the realization, or not the day, actually, but the day that I seeked help was a day that I had nowhere else to turn at all. I had asked God for some help. It was a day that I wanted to blow my head off. I wanted to end it that day. And I got help. I made one call. And from that day on, what I did was I started coming to meetings. I went to a rehab program because of the fear of having a seizure. So I started doing what I was supposed to do and getting to know what this alcoholism is. But I also started to come to a group like this, which taught me that the experience I had that when I was sober for the 15 years, we'll say, right? I didn't change a thing. And my life was still a mess. It was still unmanageable. I was still powerless over pussy and certain other things, you know? The only thing I had given up was the booze. I wasn't drugging, but the booze. My biggest problem was the booze. It would not. And for me now, and even then, you know, when I first came in, I had to go find a sponsor and point some stuff out to me. You know, and when he would point out to me my unmanageability, I would say, "You're fucking crazy, dude. I got more than you. You know, I'm a better man than you." But it wasn't for that reason. You know, I would get offended because who's this guy to tell me what? You know, I'm a good guy, you know? But he was pointing out a little bit at a time, and sometimes pretty abrupt, of the where my life had become unmanageable and how it still continued to be unmanageable even though I wasn't drinking, you know? And today this guy can point that out to me too, because I can get into a place where I'm not practicing certain principles, you know, and we're not doing 10 and 11 on a regular basis. And guess what? My life becomes unmanageable. You know, I find myself in a position of I'm powerless over something, and immediately my life becomes unmanageable. And when I look at it, I'm using insanity to get what I want, which is just a repetition of the same bad, you know, bad information leads me to bad information. You know, that's how I operate, and I try to stop it. I had that situation this past summer where my life was becoming unmanageable. You know, something occurred. I could see that the way that I was handling it, but more importantly, the way that I was thinking about handling it was insanity, complete and utter insanity. I can see that today because I spoke to certain men, you know, sponsees I spoke to. I spoke to my sponsor. I spoke to certain people that pointed out that you're fucking crazy right now. There's something going on with you. No wonder your life's not going right. But I couldn't see it. I was blocked. And, you know, thank God that I started doing some things and I got my shit together again. You know, and I don't know where I'd be today if I hadn't met some guys in this group. And also working with the younger men, they show me something all the time. The guys that are the new guys coming here and that give me an opportunity to work with them have shown me a lot because I see myself in them. You know, and especially when their lives start to become unmanageable. Now I can be the guy pointing that out, and you can call me an asshole, you know. That's fine with me. But it's been, you know, there's more material here to cover, a lot more. I was unwilling to admit I was an alcoholic. No person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. Now, the bodily part I didn't care about, but I was mentally not like you guys. I can tell you that much. I was convinced of that. I just went to one AA meeting and I saw that you guys were all mental defectives, man. You're crazy. You'll keep drinking until you die or you'll lose everything. Well, I'm not that type of alcoholic, you know. I was actually proud of myself. But what ended up happening was the truth hit me, you know? The truth hit me, and I was no different than anybody else, you know? I was just holding on to something to give the appearance that I was somebody. And it wasn't until I let go of that did I realize that my thinking and your thinking, whether it's, or the bodily part was definitely, you know, we had the same addiction. The mental addiction was the same. I was no different than any other drunk, you know, and that was very humbling to see that, I'll tell you. But it was very important for me to go through that, and very important for me to see that, and very important, especially for me to feel it and fully understand it and keep it with me every day. You know, the stuff we go, I have the tendency of not looking back a lot, you know, because I'm doing other work. But today, for me to be an all right guy today, I always have to keep in mind that, and healthy, not all right guy, but to be mentally healthy and spiritually healthy, I have to keep in mind how I was powerless over alcohol and my unmanageability. You know, I have to keep those things in mind because as a sober man, these things still happen. So there's always work to be done. Always work to be done. I'm glad for that because it's, I never have to say to somebody, I'm fixed, because I'm never gonna be fixed. You know, so I replay things. And today, of course, the circumstances today are a little bit different than the circumstances then, but they're still there. The circumstances are still there. You know, you can walk into your home at any minute and your life become unmanageable and you're powerless over a situation that your wife just created for you and you're dazzled. You're like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? You know? What am I gonna do? I'm gonna do what I practice to do. Ask for help. Ask for help. This will go away. This too shall pass, they say. I just want to react on the things, I can tell you that much. So I've got nothing more to say about this matter, gentlemen. I hope I blessed a few of you. Thank you.